also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum. And he said, truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except the widow at Zarephath in Sodom. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, we pick up the story from last week. If we were, you know where we are. And Jesus is in his hometown. We love our hometown, right? Whether we've stayed in our hometown or moved away from our hometown, it's a place that that we enjoy. This past week, I was staying for 5 days working in the Huntington Beach, which was my hometown. So I did the things that I would do, you know, when I hadn't been there in a while. So I went to the cemetery and visited my parents. I went down to the beach. I walked along the pier. I went to several places that were familiar. My home around the, went by the church, Grace Lutheran Church also. And I enjoyed reminiscing and thinking about things of my childhood and riding my bicycle and different events of the day. And Jesus today is in Nazareth at his hometown. And he must have had, you know, that same kind of feeling. He was visiting his hometown, remembering his childhood. He probably didn't deliver newspapers or some of those things some of us did with, I think we still, I don't know about newspapers anymore, but we used to do that kind of stuff as kids, right? But you could imagine that Jesus was reminiscing, was thinking about special events, events at the synagogue, things that happened in his family, at weddings or whatever they might be. And we remember, as the story was told, that Jesus went to the synagogue and he got up to read the scripture, and they invited him to preach. And he got up and he read from Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll and gave it to the attendant and sat down to preach. And last week we left off and Jesus said, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I'm the one that's going to make this happen." The people smiled. They must have thought and listened to that scripture that was familiar to them. It is always a good reminder of the people of God that they were in exile and they had come out of exile and that God had walked with them. And people were saying that this scripture was about the Messiah to come, the anointed one that would save them, would relieve them from their captivity, that would get rid of the Roman Empire and life would be better again, and life would be the way it was before. They had heard in the neighborhood from their neighbors that little Jesus, the little boy that they knew, had become quite a preacher, and it was exciting to come to hear what he had to say. And Jesus says, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." They must have been stunned by those words and wondered if Jesus was the Messiah that they had prayed for and hoped for. And wow, what would it be like to be someone from our hometown to be the Messiah? Maybe it's a little bit like in our community, you know, when somebody does well. And, you know, maybe it's a child that is a particularly good at sports and goes on to play some minor league baseball or something, or go to play in college, or someone we know in the community that receives a big scholarship or goes on to do things or becomes famous somehow. They must have thought, wow, what is this going to be like? And that's where we left things last week. And maybe that's where the people of that day thought that Jesus should just stop. But today we pick up a little more of the story. Jesus says, "This is good news." And he tells the story of the prophets of old, Elijah and Elijah. And he talks about how Elijah had gone outside of Israel, and he was a prophet, and he was with others and helped. I don't know if you remember the story, he helped a woman who was famished, who brought some food to him, the last of her food, but he was able to perform a miracle, and he and her son, her child, were fed, and they were able to be fed for a long time. Elijah went outside to the enemy of Israel, a soldier of Syria who had leprosy, and he cured that man of leprosy. So in other words, Jesus was saying, this is good news. All of this that we read in the scripture of Isaiah, but it's not only good news for Nazareth and our small town and good news for Israel, but it's good news for the whole world. The Christ will come to the whole world. There was no special treatment for the hometown folks. And maybe as they heard his word, we can understand that they might feel some anger and some frustration and wonder what Jesus is all talking about. After all, these are the people of God. These are the people of Nazareth who saw Jesus as a little tiny baby and watched him grow into a young man. And they wondered what his life would be like. And now he brings good news to them. And he said, this good news is for everyone. God's word, God's love, God's spirit is for all. These are the people, though, that know about God. These are the people who know how to come and to worship and to read the Bible and were part of Sunday school and to sing the hymns and do all the things. These are God's people. But Jesus says, God's word, God's spirit is for all. I wonder sometimes what it would be like, you know, what if Jesus were come to come and to preach to us. Jesus, I'm sure, would say similar things to us and remind us that God is still at work in our community and that God loves us and that we are people of God. Jesus would remind us that God loves us so much that he forgives our sins and he walks with us and gives us life. He would remind us that God, when God looks at us, when Jesus looks at us, we can picture in our mind perhaps someone that we love very much that we haven't seen in a long time. It's not so hard to think about that or to think about that person, right? With this pandemic, maybe there are some that we care deeply about that we haven't seen in years now or months. And that feeling that we have when we see them and come to them and to hold them and to love them. Parents know that feeling, right? When our children are young and they go away to school and they come back at the end of the day, we are excited to see them. As our children get older and they move away and we don't see them as much, we have that good feeling. And we share that hug and that love for one another. God sees us in that way. God loves us and feels that way about each one of us at Grace Lutheran Church. But Jesus reminds us that God feels that way about the whole world. I think if Jesus were to talk to us today, Jesus would remind us that God so loved the whole world. Those who speak different languages than we do. Those that come from different cultures than we do. Those who have a different feeling about politics than we do. Those that have reacted to the pandemic in a different way than we do. In other words, even some of those folks, even those folks that we have said, boy, I hate that person. Whether it's our neighbor we don't get along with, our politician, or other people, famous people that we just can't understand their point of view. God says to us, I come for those people as well. God has the feeling, that feeling of, we talked about imagining a loved one we hadn't seen in a long time. God has that feeling for the whole world, all the world. Jesus came to Nazareth, his hometown. And he got the people upset because we always want to feel that we're in the in crowd. And he reminded us and reminds us today that God so loved all the world. So the question for us today is, what do we do with this? Jesus challenged the people of Nazareth. God so loved the whole world. Those that we hate, those that we're uncomfortable with, God's word, God's gospel is for them as well. We talked to the children about sharing love with one another, and that's love with those that we hate as well. May God bless us as children of God, as we reach out to others and realize we are all God's children. Amen.